Longhorn Nation, I have some really good news and some really bad news on a personal level. The really good news is Bijan Robinson was drafted. He just wasn't drafted to the Philadelphia Eagles. The really bad news is Bijan Robinson was drafted. He just wasn't drafted to the Dallas Cowboys.
You are Locked On Longhorns, your daily podcast on the Texas Longhorns. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Longhorns, the show. Jonathan Davis, your host. Today's episode of Locked On Longhorns is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. On today's episode of Locked On Longhorns, we're talking Bijan Robinson to the Atlanta Falcons. Then we're talking about Rodney Terry and this Texas men's basketball team. This week alone, he has received commitments from Caden Shedrick and Max Amos in the transfer portal, and also got Dylan Dessou to return for his last year of eligibility at the 40 Acres. And last but not least, the Texas baseball team has been on a shaky stretch of late. They face off against a really good TCU team this weekend. All of that and more on today's episode of Locked On Longhorns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We're going to do something a little bit different on today's episode of Locked On Longhorns. For my audio listeners, business as usual, this will be one full episode. You have nothing to worry about. For my YouTube watchers, this episode will be split into two different videos, both dropping today, Friday, April 28th. The reason for that is a lot of times the first segment and the title will dictate the conversation in the comments. And I think we need to have a conversation and celebrate Bijan Robinson for making it to the NFL. But I also think that bringing in the current active points leader in college basketball and Max Amos to your basketball team is a huge deal as well. And I feel like if I put that as the second segment after Bijan Robinson getting drafted, it won't get the love it deserves. So two separate videos, the first one about Bijan, the second one about the basketball team and the baseball team, both dropping today, Friday, April 28th. And now let's talk about the newest member of the Atlanta Falcons, Bijan Robinson, the first offensive player drafted in the first round from the University of Texas since Vince Young went to the Tennessee Titans. Sounds crazy, but it is true. And I'm so glad that the Atlanta Falcons didn't overthink this. Hell, I'm glad the NFL didn't overthink it, because we saw two running backs go in the top 12 before any tight ends or wide receivers this year. But I'm so glad that the Atlanta Falcons didn't overthink it, because we've heard for so long that the running back position is overvalued, right? Or running backs don't matter, right? You're better off getting a, shameless plug, Roschon Johnson in the third or fourth round than using first round draft capital on a Bijan Robinson or a Jahmyr Gibbs. But we knew that Bijan Robinson was one of the five best players in the draft, I think, inarguably, right? I'm not Mel Kiper, I'm not Todd McShay, but if I had to do a big board really quick off the top of my head, I'd probably go Bryce Young number one, Jalen Carter, we're just talking on the field, he's a dog, Will Anderson, number three, and then Bijan Robinson, number four, right? So we knew he was one of the five best players in the draft, but we didn't know where he would get drafted because of this running backs don't matter and running backs are overvalued stigma slash mantra that's been in the National Football League for, I guess, the last 5 years now, right? And I can't necessarily argue with it, because we've seen instances of the Patriots winning Super Bowls with running backs you'd never heard of, right? Fourth, fifth round picks at that position. We just saw the Chiefs win a Super Bowl with a seventh round starter at that position, Isaiah Pacheco from Rutgers, while their first round running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, was a healthy scratch, right? We've seen instances of players like Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell get a huge second contract at the running back position and all get cut during their second contract, right? So I understand the argument that the running back position has been devalued. But what I don't understand is passing on a special football player to take a lesser player because it's a more important position. Why would I pass on Bijan Robinson, a possible generational talent at that position, to take the second or third best corner, or to take the second or third best offensive lineman, or to take the fourth or fifth best edge rusher? That doesn't make sense to me, and I'm glad it didn't make sense to the Atlanta Falcons. And they are getting a superstar that does everything at an elite level on the offensive side of the ball. When you talk about being able to run inside the tackles, he can do that at an elite level. Being able to run outside the tackles and in space, he can do that at an elite level. Obviously, his superpower is being able to make people miss, right? Whether it's the spin move, the juke move, you know, the stiff arm, being able to make people miss in a phone booth. I can't remember if it was Brennan Marion or Tashaar Choice that said he had the best hands on the team, right? But that's a hell of a compliment for a running back. When you talk about, you know, his pass blocking, he's not a lead at that yet, but it's definitely, when you talk about Bijan Robinson's character and his makeup, I feel like within the next few years, he'll be elite at pass blocking in the NFL. And everything you can say about him on the field, I think you can say twofold about him being off the field. And I think he's going to be a hell of a leader and somebody that's just going to be a really good asset to that community in Atlanta, Georgia. And he's going to a really good spot with the Atlanta Falcons because Arthur Smith is somebody that wants to lean on that power run game with multiple tight ends, right? And that's kind of what he just came from at the University of Texas. Arthur Smith was the offensive coordinator and play caller with the Tennessee Titans when Derrick Henry started to really go on that run and started to be kind of unquestionably the best running back in the NFL, right? Now, I don't think that you can use Bijan Robinson in the way that you use Derrick Henry, nor do I think that would be smart, right? I think you need to use Bijan Robinson in the way that kind of, you know, highlights his explosiveness, right? I would give him 20 to 23 touches a game, and I'd probably give him half those touches in the receiving game, right? I would probably make sure Bijan Robinson every year, if he's not 100, like, reception type of running back, he's close to it. Like, I think you need to use him in that Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara type role to really preserve his body. If you want to make this top 10 pick on Bijan Robinson an investment, then you need to do your part to make sure that he has the ability to stay healthy for the next 10 to 15 years at that position. And they take 200 to 300 hits a year, so that's hard to do. And using him like Derrick Henry probably isn't the best way to do that. But if you can get him 10 to 15 carries a game and then get him 7 to 8 catches a game, I think that's the best way to use Bijan Robinson. And when you talk about not only what he's going to do on the field for that team, right? This is a team that does not have a lot of talent right now. And so I think he comes in right away and somebody that you can lean on in the running game. But I also think he comes in right away and he's the face of the franchise, right? When Desmond Ridder is your quarterback, I think Bijan Robinson is going to be the face of the franchise and somebody they're going to lean on a lot because they do have Kyle Pitts at tight end. They have Drake London at wide receiver. They have A.J. Terrell at corner. But outside of that, there's not a lot of talent on this football team. They're still in that rebuilding phase. And so you bring in a player like Bijan Robinson who helps you start to win games on the field, but also helps you set your culture in the locker room off the field. And what we know about Bijan Robinson, watching him over the last few years, is he is the type of person that helps set your culture on the football team. He's the type of person to be first in, the last one out, to go 100% in every rep, whether it's in practice or in the actual game. And you know, you just can't find anybody that has anything bad to say about Bijan Robinson. He's going to be an extension of the coaching staff, and he's going to be a leader to everybody on that football team. And if they start to win games at a high clip over the next few years, I think one of the biggest reasons for that is them taking a chance in the running backs don't matter world in 2023 and drafting Bijan Robinson, one of the 5 best players in this draft, at number 8. So I'm extremely excited for Bijan. Congratulations to the Atlanta Falcons on getting one of the best players in the draft. And also congratulations to the Atlanta Falcons on significantly improving your fan base last night, because there's a lot of people in Austin, Texas. There's a lot of Longhorn fans that didn't have much of an affinity or a connection to the NFL that definitely will be rooting for the Atlanta Falcons. And I used to live 45 minutes from Atlanta, so I've always kind of supported the Falcons, even when they were blowing a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. But now I have another reason to root for Atlanta and Bijan Robinson. I'm so excited for him, so excited that he's fulfilled his dream of making it to the National Football League. And now I can't wait to watch him dominate on Sundays after watching him dominate on Saturdays for the last 3 years. Locked On Longhorns, the show. Jonathan Davis, your host. We're talking about the Texas men's basketball team. Rodney Terry bringing in Caden Shedrick, Dylan Dessou, and Max Amos this week. And then we're also talking about the Texas baseball team. A tough stretch over the last week, but they do face off against TCU this weekend. A chance to get back on track. But let's start with Rodney Terry and the Texas men's basketball team. And as I said last week, when the perception was down, that recruiting is about perception. And all year, even when Rodney Terry was winning, there was fair questions about what he was able to do in his short stint as the interim head coach at the 48ers, right? Because even the staunchest Rodney Terry supporters felt like, okay, we have to see him do it with his own roster being the head man of the program, right? Even though there was some conjecture about how much he had helped recruit and how much of a role he had on the staff prior to Chris Beard being let go. With Chris Beard being the head coach, he's going to get the majority of the credit for the basketball team. now that Rodney Terry is at the helm, he is responsible for what happens in terms of this basketball program, good or bad. And we saw the team had a ton of momentum that led to an Elite Eight run, right? And so you thought that, oh, a lot of people are going to want to come play for Texas. You're going to have a lot of players here right now that come back and try to run this thing back, right? This basketball team and the program is ascending, right? It's moving towards being one of the better and more promising programs in college basketball over the next few years. And then it felt like all of that came crumbling down, right? Because we saw Arterio Morris, who most of us expected to be a starter next year, it hit the transfer portal. And I think he makes his decision today at like 5 p.m. Central. I would think he's going to Kansas. So we're going to get the opportunity to play against Arterio Morris. You saw A.J. Johnson, who was supposed to come in with Ron Holland as your kind of five-star diaper dandy point guard, combo guard. He signs a deal to go play in Australia, right? Then we saw Rowan Brumbaugh, who maybe as a redshirt freshman could have got an opportunity to play at that guard position. He transfers to Georgetown. And then Dylan Mitchell and Tyrese Hunter both enter the NBA draft, and we haven't heard anything about them, you know, leaving the draft and coming back to the University of Texas yet. So we saw five players leave the program before Rodney Terry was able to bring anybody else in. And there were legitimate question marks and concerns about, can Rodney Terry recruit, right? Or did he go on a really good run with a really good roster that was put together by Chris Beard? I think this week he's been able to quiet some of the noise with the moves he's made. We saw first, Dillard Dessoute announced that he was returning to the 40 Acres, which was a huge move. We saw the last eight games of the season where he averaged 17-7, and the two games in the NCAA tournament where he played the full game, he averaged 23-10, right? Somebody that's going to be a huge piece for the Longhorns this year. Then they brought in Caden Shedrick, right? The 6'11", 7-foot rim protector from Virginia, right? But the big news that we were holding out on, and it was tough because I know it was going to come down to Kansas State or the University of Texas, right? So either going to get him or have to compete against him, was Max Amos. And you just brought in to be your starting point guard, the current active points leader in college basketball, somebody that the last 3 years has averaged over 20 points a game at Oral Roberts, somebody that almost single-handedly, now Kevin O'Banner was there, I don't want to disrespect him, but it was literally them two, right, were able to take Oral Roberts to the Sweet 16. And now he's your starting point guard on your basketball team. So that's why I say recruiting is all about perception. Because last week, the reception on Rodney Terry was down, right? It was, oh, he can't recruit. He did all of that with Chris Beard's roster. And this Texas basketball team is going to go right back to being mediocre or average now that he's the full-time head coach. A week later, we're looking at a basketball program and a roster that right now, obviously, is not filled out. But you have a foundation of Caden Shedrick being one of the best rim protectors in the country as your starting center, somebody that also shoots a 65% from the field, right? He's not going to do much. It's going to be a lot of lobs, dunks, and, you know, putbacks, but still 65%. You got Dylan Dessoute, who the last month of the season looked like somebody that easily can be a first-team All-Big 12 and possibly even first-team All-American player. He's going to come back in an expanded role next year. You have Ron Holland, who ESPN in their latest rankings has him as the number two player in the country, right? Somebody that's going to be able to defend the best player, right? Every night in and night out, is somebody who's very explosive and can score at this level right now, right? I know he's not fully polished and he's going to have a lot of development on his offensive game when he gets to the NBA, but he's still somebody right now that can come in and I think average 12 to 14 points just off the fact that he's an NBA player playing against college players right now. And then you have Max Amos, who, like I said, last year averaged 20 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists. In the last 3 years, has averaged 20 points a game. So he is an elite scorer. I think Dylan Dessoute is an elite scorer. I think Ron Holland can be a very good scorer for you. I think that Caden Shedrick can get a lot of easy buckets. And you have Brock Cunningham coming off the bench, who's kind of just that do-it-all glue player. So I think right now, this Texas basketball team, after a tough month, right, the tough, or I guess, 2 to 3 weeks of Rodney Terry taking the job, now you're looking at a basketball team that I think is right back in contention for a Big 12 title and is right back in contention to make another Sweet 16 appearance, right? When I look at the foundation of this team and Caden Shedrick, Dylan Dessoute, Ron Holland, Brock Cunningham, and Max Amos, this is a team I would fully expect to get to the Sweet 16. Like I said, Max Amos and Kevin O'Banner took Oral Roberts to the Sweet 16. Max Amos has not played on a team probably in his life with this much talent, right? And so, you know, I'm really happy for Rodney Terry, really happy for this basketball team, but we still have to see how he fills out the roster. I'm not sure if Gavin Perryman and Alex, I'm not going to say his last name, but the small forward, I'm not sure if they're going to be in the rotation. That would obviously determine how many players he still needs to bring into the transfer portal. From the transfer portal, I think you need to bring in a two guard, right? If Tyrese Hunter is not coming back, obviously you need a starting two guard. It depends on how he wants to make the roster makeup. If he wants another Serge Ibaka Rice player like last year, if you want a legitimate six man to play 30 minutes a game, or if you want to be like the Kansas team last year that had players come off the bench, but they really relied on their starters for 70 to 80% of their production, right? And I think he has options now with the way that the roster looks and what's available in the transfer portal. So I think he would still need to bring in probably two to three more guards and maybe another wing to post player to really fill out this roster. But like I said, when you look at the foundation right now and what you have in terms of defense, rebounding, defensive versatility in terms of switching and offensive capabilities, like I said, right now, this Texas basketball team once again looks like a legitimate Big 12 championship contender and looks like a team that's floor should be the Sweet 16 next year. So shout out to Rodney Terry. Shout out to this entire coaching staff. Shout out to Dylan Dessou for making the decision to return and being a key recruiter for Caden Shedrick and Max Amos to the 40 Acres. Shout out to Brock Cunningham in that regard as well. And we'll see who they pull in the transfer portal over the next few months gearing up for the season. But like I said, you have a really good foundation, a foundation that allows you to do a lot of things. I think you can score at a high level. I think you can defend at a high level. And I think you have so much versatility in your lineups, whether you want to play big and go Caden Shedrick, Ron Holland, and Dylan Dessou. If you want to go a little bit smaller than that and play Dylan Dessou at the five, you can do that, right? You have so many options and so much room for versatility on this basketball team with Rodney Terry this year. So recruiting is all about perception. Last week, the perception was down. I think Texas fans are pretty high on Rodney Terry right now after bringing in Max Amos. And when you talk about the Texas baseball team, like I said, it had been a shaky stretch, and it wasn't even shaky in terms of the win and loss record. Now, when you got swept by Oklahoma, it became shaky. But I said, when you won that series against Baylor, only outscoring them 27-25, giving up 11 runs in the ninth inning in the first two games, that's a series that you should have lost. And so you had to look at that series and say, we won two out of three games, but if we play like that in more important games, hell, if we play like that moving forward, we're not going to win, right? And then you had that fluff game that probably kind of altered your mindset against Abilene Christian, where you beat them 20-0, run ruled them in the seventh inning. And so obviously you don't really learn anything from that. So you're probably back smelling yourself, right? Thinking, oh, we're the best team in the country. We just had a slip up against Baylor. And that leads to you getting swept by the Oklahoma Sooners. Swept by the Oklahoma Sooners in college baseball. That should never happen at the University of Texas. That was extremely disappointing, right? And then you come back and you beat up on Texas Southern, another one of my alma maters. It's crazy they got to play Texas Southern and Texas State this year, both of my alma maters. But then you come back and beat them 18-3. So I don't know how they're going to look on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday against a really good TCU team, because I'm not sure what Texas team I'm going to get. Obviously, a team like Texas should beat the crap out of Abilene Christian. Right. I almost said the wrong word. Right. Talking about Christian. Right. I almost said H-E-L-L. Now, obviously, a team like Texas in baseball should beat the crap out of Texas Southern. Right. Shout out my HBCU. Shout out my alma mater. Right. That's my foundation. But in their last six games against Oklahoma and Baylor, they're 2-4 in those games. And you can make the argument that they could be 0-6 because they gave up. In the first game against Baylor, they gave up, I think, six or seven ninth inning runs. They just were up by so much, it didn't matter. And then in the third game against Baylor, they were down, I think, 8-5 going into the seventh inning. So they were on the verge of losing that game. They very realistically could have lost their last six games against their last six Big 12 opponents. Right? And so now you face off against this TCU team this weekend, and I don't know what to expect, right? Because obviously you're not playing Abilene Christian or TSU anymore, right? This is a real formidable team. And so I don't want to put anything on them record-wise, right? I've gone into every series saying I want them to go 2-1. I want them to go 3-0. But even if they go 3-0, right, it wouldn't matter to me if it's not impressive, right? Like that Baylor win kind of showcased or forecasted the baseball we would see over the next few weeks, because they haven't looked like a good baseball team unless they were playing significantly inferior opponents, right? You're not going to do that this weekend against TCU. So I don't care what the record looks like. Obviously, I want them to win the series, but whether it's 2-1 or 3-0, that doesn't really matter to me. I want them to get back to playing really good baseball, because we're coming up to the end of the regular season. And this is where baseball teams start to get hot. This is where baseball teams start to mesh. We saw that team last year in Ole Miss that won the national championship. This is when they really started to gel and get hot, right? And what we've seen is the bats have been fine. I think the bats have been really good outside of that one game to Oklahoma where they lost 1-2, right? Every other game, they've been putting up 6-7 runs. You should expect to win a game when you put up 6-7 runs. So I'm not going to task the offense. Obviously, it's baseball. You want to pick up your pitchers. If your pitchers are giving up a lot of runs, you want to score more. But I'm not going to sit here and say the offense should be scoring more than 6-7 runs a game, right? That's ridiculous. What's been happening is our pitching has not been great. And especially with the bullpen, I think our starters need to get back to going a little bit deeper, and our bullpen has to be lights out. This is the time where you gel, right? Regardless if you're going to get an Austin Regional, regardless of what the rest of the series looks like, if they're 2-1 sweeps or if you lose the series, you need to get to a point to where you're playing your best baseball right now and you're hot going into the regional and super regional, right? It doesn't matter who's ranked higher or who's the favorite or who's at home. It's about who's playing the best baseball. So that needs to be the priority moving forward, right? Not about our ranking, not about who's hosting a regional, about playing the best baseball. Because at the end of the day, you still control your own destiny to winning the College World Series, regardless of the path that you have to get there. As long as you're eligible, as long as you're alive, you control your own destiny to winning a national championship. So I need to see them focusing on playing complete baseball. The bats need to be popping. The starters need to go deep and pitch really well. And the bullpen needs to come in and close games for this Texas baseball team. If they can do that and start to do it at a high clip for the rest of the season, then I think you'll be looking at a really good and dangerous team going into the College World Series. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Locked On Longhorns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Bijan is an Atlanta Falcon. Kaden Shedrick, you are a Longhorn. Dylan Dessou, you are a Longhorn. And Max Abmas, you are a Longhorn. Hook 'em and peace.